Brothers and sisters, I feel blessed each week being able to be here to speak to you from God's holy word. You know, and I pray that you will be blessed also today just as much as I'm being blessed to bring this to you. You know, for the past few weeks, we've been talking about the time in Israel's history when Ahab was king. It was a time of extreme wickedness. It was a time, now listen to me, during that time was a time much like the time we are in today. This very important message, I certainly pray that you would listen to this about this wicked kingdom during the time of Ahab and how much it is like ours today. Wickedness during that time was rampant. Traditional morals and values were abandoned for a new morality that allowed practices that were an abomination to God. Ahab's queen was the wicked Jezebel. We talked about her in a couple of other sermons in the past couple of weeks. This wicked Jezebel, a Phoenician princess who worshiped Baal, and that's the worship of the devil, and she brought the priest of Baal into the royal court. She refused to adapt to the ways of Israel. Her goal was to eliminate Israel's faith and replace it with the cult and worship of the Phoenician Baal gods. The Phoenician religion involved temple prostitution, both male and female, and also child sacrifice. Jezebel built houses for the Sodomites next to the house of the Lord and was successful in getting rid of all the prophets of Israel except for Elijah. Now, during the time of this wickedness and evil, God protected Elijah. Because of the wickedness of Israel, Elijah declared that it would not rain for 3 years. Because of the drought, there was a time of famine in Israel, but God provided for Elijah. He told Elijah to stay by the brook Cherith, and the ravens would feed him. When the brook dried up, God sent Elijah to a widow and her son in Zarephath. God provided oil and meal for the three of them until the end of the drought. Then, in the third year of the drought, God said to Elijah, "Go show thyself to Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth." So Elijah went to Ahab and said to him, "You have forsaken the commandments of the Lord and hast followed Balaam. Now gather to me all Israel to Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal, 450, and the prophets of the groves, 400, which eat at Jezebel's table." So Ahab now sent all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets at Mount Carmel. Now, brothers and sisters, at this point in history, Israel is at a crossroads. It is the same crossroad facing America today. When all the children of Israel and all the prophets of Baal were gathered together at Mount Carmel, Elijah said to them in our text now for today, in 1 Kings 18 and 21, he says, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Isn't this a sad situation? Israel could not give Elijah an answer. They could not make a decision. Their culture, this is the problem. Their culture had changed. Jezebel had replaced their traditional morals and values with immorality. Immorality. It scares me to think about what the answer would be if I asked America this same question. How long halt ye between two opinions? Asking each one of you, if the Lord is God, follow him, serve him, worship and praise him. But if Baal is God, then follow him. As I see it now, there are a lot of people in this country following Baal. Those who approve of or they engage in adultery, a fornication, homosexuality, and abortion. Those are the ones I'm talking about. Then there are some who claim to follow God. They go to church on Sunday, but they follow Baal the rest of the week. And then there are a few who worship and serve the one true living God. In chapter 19 of 1 Kings, Elijah was lamenting the fact that Israel had abandoned God. In verse 14, Elijah says to God, "I've been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I only am left. And they seek my life to take it away. That's Elijah talking to God. But God said to Elijah, yet I have left me seven. This is what God replies to him. Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him. When Ahab was king, Israel's population, listen to this, Israel's population was approximately 300,000. So if God reserved to himself 7,000 which had not bowed to Baal, that's only 2% of the whole population. And they were worshiping God, 2%, and 98% worshiping Baal. Elijah asked all of Israel on Mount Carmel, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. If Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Here was a prophet of God asking the children of Israel to choose between God and Baal, and they wouldn't answer him. 98% of them had been worshiping Baal. The culture, I'm telling you, it had changed. They had forsaken traditional values for sexual immorality, perversion, and child sacrifice. Isn't that what we're doing today? Isn't that what we've done? Like the children of Israel, the children of America have grown up with a new morality. They don't know the ways of God. We have removed the Ten Commandments. We have removed prayer and Bible reading from our schools. We have done to America now what Jezebel did to Israel. Now what happens next is what Elijah does to prove to Israel that the Lord is God. The story is found in 1 Kings chapter 18, verses 22 through 38. And now if you get a chance to, you go there and read this in the Old Testament. You know, it's a good story to read. We'll begin now with verse 22. Then said Elijah unto the people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under it. I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under it. And call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. Now Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, choose you one bullock for yourselves, and dress it first, for you are many, and call on the name of your gods, but put no fire under it. And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it, and called on the name of Baal from morning even until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar. They jumped upon him, leaped upon the altar which was made. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is in a journey maybe, or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awakened. And they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lancets, cut themselves till the blood gushed out upon them. And it came to pass, when midday was past, and they prophesied unto the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice, nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. And Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him. And he repaired the altar that had been torn down, the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones, according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. And he made a trench about the altar, as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order, and cut the bullock in pieces, and laid him on the wood, and said, fill 4 barrels with water, and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And he said, do it the second time. And they did it the second time. And he said, do it the third time. And they did it the third time. And the water ran around about the altar, all over the altar, and all around the altar. And it filled the trench also with water. It filled the trench. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near. Now here's what he said. He said, Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice, and the wood and the stones and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. Did Elijah prove to the people of Israel who the real God was? How did the people react? Verse 39 says, and when the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. What do you think it would take for America to come to that opinion that the Lord, he is God? What kind of miracle do you think it would take? Do you think it's possible that we've already seen a miracle? They saw a miracle here during Ahab's time. Do you think it's possible that we've already seen a miracle? Well, week before last, we talked about seances that were held in the White House during the Clinton administration when the First Lady was involved in conjuring up spirits of the dead. Now, this actually happened. A New Age priestess who worshiped an ancient Phoenician goddess was brought into the White House over and over again. During the Clinton administration, a ban against using tissues from unborn babies was struck down, and the ban against partial birth abortion was overturned. An entire month was dedicated to the celebration of homosexuality. How close did we come to electing the First Lady of the Clinton administration as President of the United States? 2 days before the 2016 presidential election, the mainstream media predicted a 95% chance for the First Lady to win the election, but she lost to a New York businessman who had never been in politics in his life and beat 16 experienced politicians to become his party's nominee. Now, brothers and sisters, we've already witnessed a miracle. Everything negative that was said about him, about this man, you know, it only made him more popular. Every scandal perpetrated against him backfired. He was elected president of the United States against such odds that it had to be a miracle. One analyst even said before the election, if Donald Trump is able to overcome all the factors against him, it truly will be a miracle of biblical proportions. So I ask you again, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. If Baal, then follow him. Our nation is in turmoil. A Supreme Court nominee was falsely accused of attempted rape by one woman and falsely accused of gang rape by another woman. You know, and then this amazes me. It was revealed then that NBC withheld evidence that would have cleared him of the gang rape accusation. Now, we're facing an invasion of thousands coming through Mexico that may include MS-13 gang members, drug cartel members, and other criminals. The numbers have varied from 5,000 to 14,000 people demanding entrance to this country. When is this insanity going to stop? Insanity. You know, we need to make a decision. Whose side are we on? I'm not asking you to make a political decision. This has nothing to do with politics. I'm asking you to choose between good and evil. There's only two sides. One is good and one is evil. One is of God and one is of the devil. We can't have it both ways. You can't straddle the fence. Now, I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, when you think about who you are supporting, who you are looking at to lead this country, you need to make sure they're leading us in the good way. If you are looking at someone that are leading us down the evil path of abortion, homosexuality, and all these things that are evil, then you need to be thinking about where you are with your God. You know, my first concern is my faith in Jesus Christ and serving God according to His will. To serve God, I must serve others and be Christ-like in all I do. But it gets more and more difficult all the time to live a Christian life. Jesus said in Matthew 6:24, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. The Bible tells us that. You can't serve both. And that's what I'm talking about. There's only two sides. Either you're for one or you're for the other. The Greek word for mammon means an excessive or insatiable desire for wealth or gain, a thirst for power. Mammon is what this country is serving today. Brothers and sisters, you know, along with sexual immorality and child sacrifice, a Baal worship, they were worshiping Baal during the time of Ahab, but they also had child sacrifice. We have child sacrifice today in a form of abortion, brothers and sisters. We've abandoned the one true living God for worship of the material and sexual. And if you are supporting someone that supports abortion, that is pushing for abortion, you need to think about where you are with your God. But will we continue on the path that we're on today? You know, that depends a lot on what kind of leaders we have. It seems that people expect our elected leaders to leave their Christianity at home. Leave it at home. That's what a lot of people expect. They use Thomas Jefferson's words in a letter to a friend saying that church and state should be separate. Jefferson was referring to the state having control over the church. We can't let the state tell preachers what to preach or control what our churches do. Now, Jefferson wasn't talking about elected leaders leaving their Christianity at home when they go to work. You can't separate Christians from their faith. Now, that's a big statement, but it is a true statement, brothers and sisters. And you think about it this week. When you are at home, when you are on traveling, and when you're at work, you think about that. You cannot separate Christians from their faith. Christians are supposed to live their faith every day. The Bible tells us that. No matter what occupation they're in, they cannot separate it. If a Christian is in public office, he cannot separate his walk with Christ from his public service. This country was founded on the laws of God, and our founders never intended for Christianity and the state to be separated. But separation of church and state today has come to mean separation of Christianity and state. Now, people in the media and in Hollywood are quick to mock someone who is a Christian. But why wasn't anything said when a First Lady of the United States was having seances in the White House and conjuring up spirits of the dead or inviting a New Age priestess who worships a Phoenician God to the White House over and over again? And why wasn't anything said when our past president celebrated the Muslim holiday Ramadan in the White House every year? But now listen, but he was against having the annual day of prayer. I don't understand it. How did we get this far, brothers and sisters? We need to look at this. We need to look, and there are only two sides, good and evil. Which one do we choose? Now listen. We must learn to distinguish between good and evil. There is so much evil in our government and in our country today because we fail to see what is going on and make good choices. If we don't learn to choose good over evil, our government will be filled with evil people who will continue to remove God from our society as Israel did during the reign of Ahab and Jezebel. Can't you see what happened during that time of Ahab and Jezebel in Israel? Is not that happening today? Because we're removing God from society. We're electing leaders that are taking us down that path, that are taking God out of our society. You know, before his death now, Joshua gave the Israelites the same choice of following God or the gods their father served before the flood. He'd been with them in the wilderness. He became their leader when Moses died, and he led them into the promised land. And with God's help, he led them to victory against the pagan nations. Now, Joshua's last words are found in Joshua chapter 24. Begin with verse 14. Joshua says to the Israelites, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood are the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." I pray that that's what the people of this nation will say when they're confronted, when they're asked this question. You know, and the people during that time, they answered and they said, "God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, he it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt. from the house of bondage, and which did those great signs in our sight, and preserved us in all the way wherein we went, and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out from before us all the people, even the Amorites, which dwelt in the land. Therefore will we also serve the Lord, for he is our God. That's what the people were saying. Joshua said this to the people: ye cannot serve the Lord, for he's an holy God. He's a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that he hath done you good. And the people said unto Joshua, nay, but we will serve the Lord. And Joshua said unto the people, ye are witnesses against yourselves that ye have chosen you the Lord to serve him. And they said, we are witnesses. Now therefore put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. And the people said unto Joshua, the Lord our God will we serve, and his voice will we obey. Joshua made a covenant with the people that day, and he set a statute and an ordinance to remind them of their promise to put away their strange gods and serve the Lord. And Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God, and took a great stone and set it up there under an oak that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said unto all the people, behold, this stone shall be a witness unto us, for it hath heard all the words of the Lord which he spake unto us. It shall be therefore a witness unto you, lest ye deny your God. Now listen. The Israelites here, they've sworn to serve the Lord and made a covenant. They made a covenant with Joshua. So how long were the Israelites able to keep the covenant? They served the Lord as long as Joshua was living. Now, after Joshua's death, they served the Lord as long as the elders were living who witnessed the covenant. Then, Judges 3, verses 5 and 6 tells us this. And the children of Israel dwelt among the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, and they took their daughters to be their wives and gave their daughters to their sons and served their gods. In only one generation, the Israelites abandoned God, and once again, they served the gods of the pagan nations. You know, our founding fathers gave us a constitutional republic established on the laws of God. And now we can't even display the Ten Commandments in public places. It's no wonder so many people have turned to other gods. There is nothing to remind us of God's laws each day. There are millions of Bibles now in this country, but people don't read them. Church attendance declines each year, less and less every year. Are there any left who haven't abandoned God completely or aren't trying to serve God and mammon? In Romans chapter 11, the Apostle Paul reminds the church at Rome about what God told Elijah when Elijah said, Lord, they have killed thy prophets and digged down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. But what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men. Talked about that earlier, who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Even so then, at this present time also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. Even today now, brothers and sisters, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. In Elijah's day, God's remnant was only about 2% of Israel's population. Paul, the Apostle Paul, gives no indication of the size of God's remnant in his day. And we have no way of knowing in our day, but judging by the evil going on today. And you look at the evil around us. God's remnant is probably a very, very small percentage of our population. Now that's a reality. In so many ways, America has walked the same path as Israel. We've had God's word to teach us and guide us, but we haven't learned from Israel's mistakes. Today, we are at the same place Israel was after the reign of Ahab and Jezebel. But God has given us a leader who is pro-life, who believes marriage. Now listen, this guy believes that marriage is between one man and one woman. He's put two conservative justices on the Supreme Court and will uphold our laws and protect our borders. Now, brothers and sisters, it's time to ask once again, halt ye between two opinions. If the Lord be God, follow him. If Baal be God, then follow him. The decision must be made. We can't be like the children of Israel who couldn't give Elijah an answer. We have to decide if we want to be ruled by good or evil. Do we want to continue to kill babies in the womb? Do we want to continue to recognize marriage between sodomites? Do we want to continue to keep prayer and Bible reading out of our schools and the Ten Commandments out of our public places? No wonder we're having all this public school shootings and the people that are being killed today. No wonder, because they have no Ten Commandments to follow. Do we want to continue to allow gang members and drug cartel members to come into this country illegally and murder our citizens? Do we want more riots and shootings and protesters who become violent? Is this what we want? The state of our country and our culture is no different than Israel in Elijah's time. But Elijah stood up against the wicked Ahab and Jezebel. He showed the children of Israel that the Lord was God and not Baal. Elijah confronted, I'm telling you, he confronted evil. He confronted King Ahab and Queen Jezebel. Elijah was a prophet, a preacher. Do you think Elijah was being too political now? In dealing with the government of his time, he was dealing with leaders all the way to the top, very top. They were evil and corrupt, and they had corrupted all of Israel with Jezebel's pagan gods and immoral rituals. Did God tell Elijah, you can't do anything about this situation because of the separation of church and state? No. God was the one who sent Elijah to Ahab. God sent him. And what about Joshua now? He was a godly leader. He knew the Israelites had strange gods among them, and he confronted them. Joshua confronted them. He told them to choose whom they would serve. The choice was between the gods their fathers served on the other side of the flood or the one true living God who brought them out of Egypt and through the wilderness into a land flowing with milk and honey. Joshua was the leader. He represented the state. Was Joshua concerned that he had violated separation of church and state when he confronted the Israelites? No, sirree, he wasn't. In fact, he told them, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. In the case of Elijah and Joshua, the children of Israel proclaimed that the Lord is God and chose to serve him. We should do the same, brothers and sisters. We can't afford to halt between two opinions any longer. We must choose. We have to choose. Do we want our leaders to be godly men who will lead us in the ways of goodness and righteousness? Or do we want leaders who are evil and corrupt and steal the wealth of this land for themselves? We must decide, because time is running out. May the Lord bless you.